EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
Four calls
on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show. I hope you've all had a great week. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Tonight's guest is Marley, coming to us from Tennessee. And Marley will be sharing her experiences of being on board ships and being taken on journeys. Marley is up next. But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to patreon.com/UFO Chronicles podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Nick. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you. It's great to have you on, and you're calling from the state of Tennessee in the U.S.
Yes, I am. I've been here for about 3 years now, and I love it. I love being in the mountains. I'm in the middle of nowhere on a 10-acre property, and I absolutely love that.
Great stuff. We have some really wonderful listeners in Tennessee. So now, Marley, you're going to be sharing some of your experiences. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, ma'am?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Nick. Okay, well, my experience started from a very young age, and I was able to communicate with different beings and spirits from family that had passed on and were watching over me. I was able to see them. And I was able to communicate with them. At about the age of between 3 and 4 years old, my dad, who I'm assuming had some incredible experiences of his own, he had a conversation with me and he told me about UFOs and ET, or star family is what ET likes to be called, that I would be having some experiences. And he told me to not be fearful, that they were friendly and they were our families from the sky, and that I would be in good hands, but that he was sure that I would be having some of these experiences. When I was that age, I remember being outside with my dad and my grandpa, and I said I was not from here. I did not feel like I fit into this realm in any way, shape, or form. And my dad asked me, well, where do you think you're from? And I pointed to the stars and I said, I'm from up there. And I said, that is my home. And my dad said, yes, I was right. So that happened at the age of 3. I noticed around the same time was very interesting. I was outside in the backyard of our home, and it was a fenced-in yard. I saw something moving in the sky, and I am going to be 57 in January, so you can think how far back that was at 3 years old. And I saw some things moving in the sky, and this was in my family's backyard. So I look up, and I see these three ships, obviously at 3 to 4 years old. I wasn't really sure what that was, but they were playing a little game with me. And so I decided to pretend like I was Spider-Man and shoot these, webs up of string and pretending that I was connecting in with the UFOs because there was three of them right there together. And then I was carrying these invisible threads that I shot up to each one of them. And I was pretending like they were balloons. And I was running. So I'm holding the balloon strings, so to speak, and I'm running from one end of my yard to the other. And they were following. So I really got privy to this. And I thought it was so funny as a young child that I would start running really fast, and then I'd put my brakes on really fast, and then they would put their brakes on really fast. And they did this. And this actually is a group of ships that appeared way back then, 53 years ago, this started. And these guys still follow me now. They surround me everywhere I go. It's pretty incredible in all of these years, 53 years, probably more, but I didn't notice them before three. They literally follow me around, and I feel that they hold a very close connection to me. I have gone through a lot of trauma in my life. However, I have felt extremely protected, and that is because of them. So my whole life, I have not gone to bed with my blinds or curtains closed because I keep getting these pings in telling me, no, don't shut them. We need to be able to keep an eye on you. So I've just always kept them open so they can watch me at night. And I say my little prayer, and I've seen many of them come in, and I've been aboard a number of ships over my lifetime that many other people, Nick, have experiences that are created around fear. And I'm not knocking their experiences because I feel for them that they have had some really scary situations that have come up. My situations are not that. I have never had a scary encounter. They've always been, I've felt very, very much loved and fulfilled by these beings. So it's really incredible because they're still playing this game with me. And at 56 years old, I am still pretending like they're balloons in the sky at times, and I'll run around on my property and I'll also look at them and I will call out different colors. And about 3 seconds after I say a color, they will flash those colors of lights for me. So I'll go red, and then they'll flash red, and then I'll go blue, and then green, and yellow, and white, and start all over. And they keep doing that. So it's pretty cool. And I've tried to get them to go in sync, almost like they were playing music with the different colors. You know, that Simon game with all the colors. So it's pretty interesting. They've saved my life in a few different circumstances where my family was told that I wouldn't last through the night because of certain things that happened. And I also had two near-death experiences in this lifetime. When I've been in a hospital and my family's been told I will not survive the night, the surgeon or the doctor comes in the next morning and is flabbergasted, just blown away because I'm doing so much better. But that's because they come in and they work on me and they do a great deal of healing. And they keep telling me that I have this really big mission that I have to take care of here, and they need to keep me healthy and they need to keep me safe for that. They've wanted me to get people ready for official first contact and to not be afraid of that. So these experiences were pretty incredible. And for whatever reason, they have chosen me to make sure that I stay healthy and safe so that I can do whatever it is that I need to do. I have also that I wanted to share with you, Nick, a very, very rare blood type. And up to 3 years ago, there were only 9 of my people on this planet still with my blood type. But I have found out that they want to stop this bloodline, the governments and stuff. When I was pregnant with my children, they forced these shots on me that were called Rogam shots. And after doing research later into my adult life, I found out from multiple people, doctors, someone that works at the blood bank, as well as many nurses, that it is literally to stop the bloodline. And so the Rogam shots that they give women who are a negative blood type are to create the babies being born not to be an Rh negative blood type. But my blood, I have learned, it's referred to as the golden blood. Apparently, it's the blood of the gods, from what I'm being told from many, many people and many beings. I've been on many ships, and there are 3 ships in particular that I'm going to share with you today. Those ships are the Butterfly, the Mythia, and the Pegasus. And those are 3 out of a massive fleet of ships. And those are the ships that I tend to be on and frequent. The technology on these ships are so hard to describe because it's not any technology that in our language here on this planet I would be able to, you know, tell you what it is. But I know that it's just really, really incredible technology. And on these ships, they use crystal power. And the crystals and something to do with magnetic, it actually goes from gravity to anti-gravity. And that is what propels the ships. I also have been taught while I've been on those ships about crop circles. The reason that the crop circles, I've been told, are so big are because they place crystals underneath the ground, and the fine placement of these crystals creates the design above ground for the crop circles. So they kind of zap it after these crystals are placed underneath the ground. And then it creates the design of the crop circle. And then they know where they have to go if they're, you know, flying around in the sky to charge up. So that was some information that I thought was really, really interesting and incredible. But I have never had any fear from any of these. It's like second nature for me. And I don't ever remember having any fear. I was always made to feel very loved and respected and calm. And they started being very fun with me from a very, very early age. It is not just one specific being that I have been presented. I have had multiple reactions from many different beings that I will go into shortly. But I wanted to get back for a moment on the technology inside. So where I've been taken in when they take me onto the ship, it's like an encased, almost like a bathtub, but it's a really big bathtub. And there's fluid in the bathtub, but it's not like water. It's obviously very wet, but it's thicker than water. And that is where they will dip me and other people. And these dips are pretty incredible, really, because they purify you. They actually open your chakras up and create balance and alignment for anything that hasn't been aligned. they rid you of any disease and anything like that that they might find within the body to be able to keep going. I've been dipped numerous times over my lifetime, more times than not when I've been dipped on these ships. I end up, when I wake up in the morning, I have a little bit of discharge coming out of my ear, usually just one ear, not both. Then usually when I have my first, you know, bathroom break, like my first pee of the day, we'll say, usually that the urine is a little bit of a different color and it has a little bit of a weird smell to it. But then it's gone after the first time. So those are just kind of leftover things. And then I feel so much better after. They've provided me many upgrades and downloads, and they have increased my my senses. So my sight, my ears, just all of these senses, as well as elements, they have upgraded me with all of the elemental things like earth, wind, fire, and air. Since then, it's been rather incredible because I've been able to create air. I am an air sign, and apparently that's my thing. So it's so funny, if I'm meditating outside sometimes and the air is too still, I will create some air to get a little bit of a breeze going. Sometimes people have said, is that you doing that, Marley? I mean, you need to stop doing it. It's getting too windy out. But it's very interesting. And one of the ships I was on, Nick, was rather incredible because the ship wasn't so big, this one. But yet, walking into this ship, it was almost like going inside of a portal because everything expanded like astronomically. And then the outside of the ship looked so small, and I'm thinking, how is this going to work? But walking into it literally was like stepping into another time or dimension, and this ship became ridiculously huge. And in that ship, it was really interesting because they were taking some of the whales and the dolphins from this planet, and they were taking them back home to Sirius B to be able to help them because of all the pollution and everything in the water. There's so many of them having such a hard time is what they told me, and they had to take them to heal them. When they come and to pick me up, what I've noticed is it's almost like a time freeze, like they're able to stop or freeze the surroundings around them because it's incredible. Nobody sees, but yet people are around. So I'm not quite sure how that happens. I've been trying to figure that out, but I'm just really not sure of that. But they have some incredible, by this place that they've dipped me in, and I've seen them dip other people in, there's just crystals all around. So there's a specific crystal that they use often, and that is there's one right above the bed, one at the crown of the bed, one at the root of the bed, the foot, and then there's a platform underneath these tub type things. And they are lined with all of these crystals as well. And then they use some magnets type things. I'm assuming that's what creates everything to be drawn out of impurities and stuff like that. I remember one specific time I was brought back and I woke up before they left. And I actually have a picture that I actually caught one of them in my room. I've seen, as I said, many beatings, but this particular time when they're bringing me back in the morning, I noticed that I was being rocked like a baby is being rocked by a loving parent or grandparent or something. And I noticed I'm looking down, but I couldn't move my body. So they put me into full-on sleep paralysis. So the only thing I could move was my eyes and my mouth, but the rest of my body was like completely paralyzed. I look down with my eyes that I'm hovering about 2 to 3 inches off of my mattress of my bed, but I'm still being rocked. So I was assuming, okay, I'm sitting on somebody's lap here and they're rocking me, and that's why I'm above my bed and not even touching it. So I'm enjoying this rocking. It's just such an incredible feeling. And then they stopped. And then I was able to, like I said, move my eyes and my mouth. And I said, please don't stop. This feels so beautiful. Can you just stay a little bit longer? I mean, at that time, I had been living on my own for a number of years. I just really liked that connection. And it just felt so wonderful. And just like a really loving mother's love. So when I said that, and asked for this being to keep rocking me, they then started rocking me again, Nick. And it was so incredible. I know that I had been dipped that night because once the paralysis wore off, I went into the bathroom and my head was a little bit stuck to my pillow from the liquid that was draining from my ear. And I'm like, okay, I've been dipped. So that was like a really, really beautiful experience for me because they certainly treat me like I am a part of their family. I also at one time was sitting in a lotus position, getting ready to meditate on my bed, and I could feel and see energies moving around my room. When that happened, I was just in a bit of an emotional state this particular day. And I asked for a hug. I said, I could really use a hug, guys. I'm just having a day. So I all of a sudden, I'm sitting upright. And all of a sudden, I feel this energy come up to me. But then it came and went into me and through me. And I literally, from the force of it, I kind of went back, fell back into my pillows on the bed. Now, it wasn't scary and it wasn't a harsh thing. It was a very beautiful thing, but it was so incredible because I asked for this hug and I think it was like an exciting thing. And they just literally entered me and then came out the other side. But I did feel this blast of unconditional love when that was done. It just threw me for a little bit of a loop because I wasn't sure what was happening. Usually hugs are on the outside of the body, not on the inside of the body. But it was pretty incredible, to say the least. And they just exited after they entered right out the back. But at that time, they let me know. They referred to me as a multidimensional being. And so one evening when they were with me, they showed me, they kind of took me through a crash course so I could see the abilities that I had. And one of them was being able to walk through walls. And another one is my soul, I actually now feel can like leave my body at will. And the more connected in I am to the divine realms, I can literally just be sitting in a lazy boy chair and all of a sudden I feel my soul catapulting out of my body when I'm in a still state. It's really incredible. And this is happening the older I get, this is happening more and more, but that in of itself happens to me. And I know that at this point, I'm kind of walking between two different realms because I'm being called to help out at times on the other side. And people will be talking to me, my husband, one of them, and they'll be having a conversation. And then all of a sudden, I'm non-responsive. I'm breathing and everything. My avatar is breathing and everything, but I am not really there, but I can't communicate anymore, because they have me helping with things on the other side of the veil. It's really cool because I feel very blessed that they have chosen me for whatever reason to be able to have these connections with, and been able to count on them, Nick, more than I could count on most people here in this realm. So I stay very closely connected. They also told me that my rare blood is proof of the being a multidimensional being. My body is, it's always been an anomaly. So not only was I born with the most rare blood type on the planet, but I also was born with an extra rib, an extra vertebrae, and no appendix. So for whatever reason, I don't know, but doctors in my life have always had a very difficult time trying to figure out things that I was going through over the years. And what has ended up having to happen is I will have to leave a doctor's office or a surgeon, and I will have to say, okay, I'm going to go figure it out, and then I will come back. And when I come back, then you'll know what to do. And I didn't want to ever give too much information because I thought they would put me in a loony bin. And I knew that I wasn't crazy. You know, this to me has been a blessing my whole life. So it was pretty incredible because every time doctors always have referred to me as an anomaly. They can't figure out anything that goes on with my body, and they don't know anything about my blood. But I will go back to the office to see that doctor after having a conversation because I'm connecting in every day with the divine realms. And I ask them and they let me know what tests I need. And they also will let me know what will be found. So I go back to the doctor and I say, okay, if you run these specific tests, this is what you'll find. And then this is what'll be needing to be done. Now, the crazy thing about that, Nick, is that 100% of the time it was accurate. Every single time. I'm not a doctor, so, you know, I can't do things like that and diagnose, but 100% of the time they've been accurate about all of these things. And then I was able to get the help that I needed to be able to flourish. Also, I've had many paranormal experiences. And I get visits all the time from family of mine who's passed away over the years, not just recent family, but many, and I've been able to see them. And I was a child who grew up in Canada, but my dad's parents were in England, my nanny and granddad. When I went to England the first time as an adult in 2000, they were standing at the bottom of my bed the day that I went to the cemetery with my aunt to go and visit them. I wasn't able to be there for their funerals. And I told my aunt in the morning that Nanny and Granddad came to visit me. The room turned really cold and it was the middle of August. I look up. I felt like I needed to go to the washroom. Well, then that didn't end up happening because I was able to spend some time with my nanny and granddad. But my aunt said to me, what were they wearing, Marley? Do you remember what they were wearing? And I explained both of them in detail exactly what they were wearing. And my aunt told me that those were the clothes they were buried in. And now I could not have known that because I wasn't at their funerals years before. Things like that happen to me on the regular. I always have light body beings that surround me, and some of them I refer to as my angels and guides, but they are walking around in light body beings and I can clearly see them for the most part. Other times I see energy and I take that flow of energy that is coming off of a being or a person and I tend to turn it into music in my head. And the other interesting thing that has been happening to me since I started driving when I was 18 years old, I started driving. And if I drive by a cemetery or a place where an accident happened, some of them actually will jump into my vehicle because they have some unfinished business. With this unfinished business, they need me to take them specific places and they show me themselves as they were in the accident. So I had one young guy he was a really handsome young man, and he hopped into the passenger side of my car. I'm like, oh, hello. And he turned and looked at me, and he had a big gash on his head and blood coming down his face. But I mean, I knew he wasn't real because his body You know, you can put your hand through it. So I said, okay. I said, there must be a reason for you wanting to get in here with me. And he let me know that he had some unfinished business and he told me where to turn off. And when I turned off and I went by his directions and he hopped out, like he just jumped out of the car. That was the first one that happened.
Based in southeast coastal Georgia, Coastal Preparedness Supply is dedicated to helping ordinary folk achieve advanced preparedness and maximum self-sufficiency under any circumstances at affordable prices. Their message is simple: plan ahead before disaster strikes. In these unprecedented times, it's vital to be prepared. Whether it's the looming threat of war or another pandemic, a power outage or even a job loss, you can always be ready to help not only yourself, but friends, family, neighbors, and even strangers as well. Full spectrum preparedness is essential as uncertainty mounts. Coastal Preparedness Supply is here for you. Whether you're new to prepping or well seasoned, casually interested or passionately devoted, visit coastalprepsupply.com/UFO now to take advantage of a site-wide holiday season discount and use the discount code UFO at checkout for free shipping on selected items, or hit the link below to access this offer. Again, that's coastalprepsupply.com/UFO. Coastal Preparedness Supply, your one-stop shop for all your survival and emergency preparedness needs.
But I've had so many ever since that where they will literally just attach to me to help them or get to where they need to finish their business so that they can move on. I've also had many of them come to me because they need help, you know, leaving this realm. They got stuck here. I've actually done that. I'm now a shamanic healer. I do a lot of native healing and I'm a homeopathic healer. So I work in many modalities and I've been helping them get back home, those that are trapped here on the planet, because unfortunately that happens for a great deal of them. And I try to make that as easy as possible for them. I got very sick a number of years ago, and I was told by the specialists that I had less than 2 years to live. I had to come to terms with that. And my attitude was, no, I just don't want to do that. That doesn't work for me. I have too many other things to do. And they told me, they kept saying, no, Marley, you have to come to terms with this. And I'm like, no, I don't have to come to terms with anything. I put it out there into the divine realms. And 6 months later, I went back and had a whole other set of tests done. So I had blood work, I had x-ray, ultrasound, CAT scan, MRI, and a PET scan. They diagnosed me with multiple myeloma, which there's obviously no cure for. Now, in doing that, they are telling me, you need to deal with this. And I'm saying, nope, I do not. I had the mindset that this was not what was going to take me out of this realm. And when I went back 6 months later, Nick, for those tests and to have a conversation with the doctors, there was no symptom that I had ever had any cancer, not on any test. Now, the tests that had been taken 6 months prior, I had lesions all over my bones from the cancer, and no lesions were appearing in the new tests. One of the specialists and a radiologist said, you know, kind of scratching their head, going, what is going on here? This is impossible. They said, we need to repeat the tests because I think that they got mixed up with someone else's. And I said, I can see that happening maybe with one of them, but with every single test, I don't think so. They were kind of going berserk because they just did not understand what happened and how I go from having less than 2 years to live and my body falling apart on me to being completely cured and in remission and no signs of anything. And I thank the divine realms for that. I also had them ask me if they could remove my baptism, and I asked why. And If you haven't heard this, Nick, it's pretty incredible when I heard this. There's so much indoctrination with religion and everything on this planet, and it creates fear for people. The explanation that I received about removing my baptism because I was baptized Catholic when I was a baby, never practiced it, but was baptized it. And I said, I'd like to know why, because I didn't understand what was happening or why they wanted to do that. And this is the response that I got, and I quote, "Why do you think they pour the so-called holy water where they do on the forehead?" And I'm like, "Why?" And they said, "Because it drowns the third eye so that people cannot stay connected into the divine realms." Every single person could be having these experiences, but they have forgotten who they actually are. And everyone is from somewhere that is not from here. So with that being said, I agreed and I said, absolutely, you can remove my baptism. And once that was removed, Nick, some incredible things happened because I started seeing things that much more clearly and seeing things with my human eyes closed. They also told me that same day that, why do you think babies do not speak for the first few years of their life? And I again asked, well, why? And they said, because that is when all of the programming is done. With babies being quiet, they learn from what they hear, what they see, what they taste, what they smell, and what they feel. And that was very interesting to me because, again, that makes a great deal of sense, knowing how much programming and manipulation goes on within, well, it's society's role, in my opinion. So that was a pretty incredible day for me because I received an awful lot of information. That same day, when I received that, I was told that I work very closely with the animals of the planet, especially the whales and the dolphins, but that most animals would recognize me. They provided me an upgrade to my telepathy, and I use telepathy with animals now. I'm also an animal whisperer, and I've come across some pretty incredible animals out on hikes and things like that, and I speak to them telepathically. And I just show them and provide them love. And I had a big grizzly bear in Canada, in British Columbia, come up to me. And it was such a beautiful thing. I was on a four-wheeler. And this bear was right in the middle of the road. And I had such an incredible connection with this bear. And he was just loving on me and talking to me. And I felt no fear, but I normally don't feel fear. So I've had some very incredible experiences with animals. So it makes sense that they've done these upgrades. In Dominican Republic, I jumped out of a boat to swim with the dolphins because there were dolphins surrounding the boat. And that was such a beautiful experience too. So animals have this way of just connecting in with me for whatever reason. I've also been given remote viewing ability and clairvoyant psychic type of abilities. I'm very grateful for these things. I'm not really sure why I've been chosen for that stuff, but I'm happy that I have been because it's made a great deal of difference in my life. When I was in Canada still, a friend of mine, Kevin, that lives in Hamilton, and I had two other soul brothers that were a part of this. We were referred to as the Toronto Run. They would pick us all up. So there was Kevin, Jerry, Javid, and myself. And we would be picked up and we would be taken to New Mexico. And it was really incredible because the one time this happened, Jerry got a hold of me the next day and he said, I could have swore I saw you as I'm walking by these windows in the mountain when they took us there. And he described to me that I had my hair in a ponytail. I was wearing a Canadian t-shirt and I had like Molson Canadian sleep pants on. And that's actually exactly what I was wearing when they took me and them. So he had a really incredible remembrance of that. I know Kevin has been working very closely with them as well, and they've really helped him with his music and things like that. So I wanted to share with you as well. When I came into this life, Nick, I have remembrances of some of my past lives. I remember a time when I was a young child, just a toddler, and my aunt put the radio on in the living room, and the song started playing for the Charleston dance. And I was only a few years old, and all my whole family was there sitting around. I stood up because I recognized the music, and I started dancing the Charleston. And then an argument broke out because my mother thought my aunt had taught me that dance. And my aunt is like, I don't know how to do that dance. But apparently I did it. And it was perfect because I just heard the music and okay, up I get. When I was in school, middle school more than any, I used to get a great deal of detentions because I would argue with the history and geography teachers about what they were teaching because I knew that the information was wrong. And oh my gosh, they did not like that at all, that I would raise my hand and create a conflict because these are what's in the books, so the books must be right, right? Not so. So it was kind of funny. I was always somebody who was standing in my sovereignty and speaking up for what I thought was absolutely ridiculous because nothing here on this planet ever made sense to me. I also remember lifetimes that I've been in outside of this planet. And I know that I was a lion being from the Lyra constellation. I also remember being on Lyra when Lyra was blown up and many Lyrans were killed by the Draconians, and especially the redheaded ones. The Draconians liked the redheads because they got somewhat of a high off of it, a buzz off of the redheaded lion beings. We scattered from Lyra, and I remember this like it happened yesterday. And some went to the Pleiades, some went to Orion, some went to Sirius B, then started cohabitating with those other beings as well. I remember there was an issue. This is a very long time ago, and it had to do with Earth. And I remember being on Mars. I didn't live on Mars, but there was a war going on Mars. And at that time, we were between 10 and 12 feet tall. I was wearing somewhat of it was like an astronaut helmet, but it wasn't big like that. It was just very light and simple and had, you know, these really incredible guns that were blowing fire, not bullets. This happened on Mars, and then there was a big explosion on Mars that I remember. And then we actually were following a number of us that made it, hopped in ships and followed because the Draconians were headed to Earth. We followed there to try and figure this out and stop them from creating chaos here on this planet. So I do have incredible remembrances of those. These were from a long, long time ago. I really have had issues in my life, Nick, difficulties resonating with the human population. I've spent a great deal of time on my own in this life because it's just been easier. Never felt lonely in my life being alone because I always had them. I have tried to, because people have wanted me to share my information and I've been trying to connect. I really want people to be aware that this doesn't have to be scary, and we need to prepare people for official first contact. Now, for me, official first contact already obviously has happened, and there are beings all over this planet that are shape-shifted into a human avatar. They're not harming anyone. They're here to help humanity. But I have tried to contact people like Dr. Stephen Greer and Linda Moulton Howe because I felt that there was something that I actually could add and that they could look into with the information that I have. So I find something very interesting. When other humans are around me, they normally will not show themselves to those people because they are always very careful what they say. Most people are not ready because they are still so focused and hyper-focused really on fear. But then I can see their energy and stuff. Or it's so weird because there's things that I will look at and see something, and I can ask someone that's sitting right next to me, Nick, and they don't see what I'm seeing, but they can feel a shift in energy, which is usually a much higher vibrational flow of energy with those shifts. Most humans, as we know, have been lied to, and they've been programmed in fear. So if you think about how many years have these things been put out there and, you know, people trying to tell their stories about their abductions or seeing UFOs and things like that. And then they're put in hospitals or they're threatened or the men in black show up. And that's just not okay, in my opinion, because this is real stuff and people deserve the truth, not to be made to feel crazy. I was made to feel crazy most of my life, but I wear that like a badge of honor because if this is literally my crazy, then I take that over their so-called norm every day of the week. But I was, when I was young, because I was very, very different, I felt like I had to hide my abilities and experiences. I don't do that anymore. When I was 40 years old, the divine realm said to me, that's enough. You need to start using your abilities and you need to start spreading information and planting seeds so that people are ready and they don't have any fear surrounding it. So I, since the age of 40, I've been sharing my stories more and I've been using my abilities, which has really been fantastic and very helpful in my life when you start using your God-given abilities. So now I'm just living my life very true to self. And if people have a problem with the things that I say, I don't feel responsible for that because they need to go within and figure out why they have that problem. I am being asked to share this information from the divine realms, and this is one of the reasons that I'm here and part of my mission. I'm just going to go through some of the beings that I have spent time with in this lifetime. And they will be the Pleiadians is one of the most prominent ones. And the Lyrans have been great protectors and great healers for me. And they assisted me when I was really sick to remove everything along with the Arcturians. Other beings, the Mantis beings, I have had a few experience with, not many, but a few. They are really tall. I would say probably between 10 and 14 feet tall. And I've not had any scary things happen with the Mantis beings. They are trying very hard to communicate with me. And I'm asking them to use telepathy because I just can't understand their verbiage. And I feel badly about that. I try really hard, but they've started using more telepathy with me and showing me visions and things like that. So that's perfect. Some beings that I met, I'm writing a book right now, Nick. I don't know if I told you. It's called My Journey to Middle Earth, where I met and received information from many, many beings from the multiverse. And all of that information is going to be going in my books, but I have a lot of information they've provided me, their lifespan, how they procreate, the landscape of their land, what they consume, what they breathe, all of that kind of thing, what types of jobs that they do, and things like that. So that is going to be very thorough in the book that I'm writing, and I'm so excited to get that information out. I had one of those beings that I met in Middle Earth. They are from a place called Cerathos, and they are shapeshifters. So I walked into this room, and they are so beautiful beings and very long hair. They are very buff, you know, like they look like they work out all the time, but they have really exotic purple eyes, like deep purple. So the woman that is kind of the leader that I met, that she was talking to me, I noticed her trying to connect with my eyes. And I'm a person that usually looks people in the eye when I speak to them. I noticed that I was starting to feel a little weird. So I moved my head away and she said, "No, I'm trying to show you what I can do." And I'm like, "No, because you're hypnotizing me. I can feel it." And I found out that is what they do. They use their beautiful eyes and it literally creates a hypnosis in humans. And then that kind of bothered me. So I made a little note of that when I came back on my paper saying, keep an eye on these ones, because even though they were really friendly and open, there was something about them that I was, I need to keep an eye on these ones if they ever come up again, because I'm not really sure. They showed me that they can shapeshift into any form, not just a human or a different type of being. And then I had this experience on that journey to Middle Earth when I was going. It was so funny. I'm at a beach and I'm about to do yoga on the beach. And all of a sudden, this Asian looking man, and he was tall, he was a tall Asian looking man, walks out of the water and over to me, and he's fully clothed and not a drop of water on him. It was so bizarre. And I remember doing a double take because I'm thinking, what's going on here? And I can tell you, he had like a bead choker around his neck, and he had a t-shirt with the flower of life on it, and then like a flannel shirt over top of the t-shirt that all the buttons were undone on. And he had cargo shorts that were like a khaki color, and then work socks and hiking boots. And there was not a drop of water. He was carrying a backpack. I'm just watching him and he didn't say anything. And then he walks by me and I turned and I looked at him. And he said, "Are you sure you don't want to be a gray instead?" I was floored. No, not really. But I didn't know what to do or say. I thought that was such a random thing that he was asking me if I would prefer to be a gray. And I'm like, "Nope, I'm fine where I am. Thank you very much." And he just vanished and disappeared. But he was about 7 feet tall. And I remember it like it happened yesterday. It was a pretty cool experience. So I was also told, oftentimes we hear about the cattle mutilations that were being done. And I was told by these divine star families that it is not the truth. The cattle, yes, are being mutilated, but not by any ETs. They are literally being mutilated by the government. Again, they told me about creating fear. They want people, they need people to be fearful of the ETs. They prefer star families, but because of official first contact, and when they start showing themselves, they want people to start shooting and doing horrible things. So the cattle mutilations, they told me, are not that, because I did ask that question. I've been in my lifetime provided many upgrades and downloads, as I'd mentioned before, and visions about people and world events. You know, this is not, I have been detached from ego for a really long time now. So this is not about ego in any way. This is about sharing truth and information. But I have to tell you, the visions that I have received from star families and from other divine realms have been 100% accurate. all of the time. You know, I don't get a time stamp normally when I get this information in. Often the things happen very quickly, and I will tell people, and then I get all of these confirmations because people will start watching different things that are going on around the world. And then they start sending me all this stuff saying, remember last week when you said there was going to be a tsunami that hit da da da? And I'm like, yep, I remember. And then they say, guess what happened? A tsunami hit exactly where you said it was going to hit. I am always escorted when I'm traveling astrally. They don't ever allow me to travel alone. I'm unsure why, Nick. I just know the things that they've said. They tell me that I will understand one day and the importance of my existence. So that's all I know about that. But I've been told by three different people the last few years when I'm sleeping, I will start singing in a very high-pitched tone and talking in light language and having full-on conversations. There was a portal opened up in my room, and I had a friend here from California, and she was able to see all of the beings as well, but she's pretty elevated herself. And I have fairies around me often. So those are the things that I wanted to share with you. And I'm wondering, I know I could go on forever and ever because this stuff has been happening my whole life.
And you still having experiences up to this day?
Yes, absolutely. I experience them almost every single day of my life. They are around me. They follow me around. Those three ships are with me. And I don't know if at some point they switch, but every time, like when I wake up in the morning, I know they're there. When I go to bed at night, I know they're there. When I wake up again, they're still there. So I don't know if they switch through the night. And I mean, I love that. I think it's really cool. And it's really easy to be able to show people because I can spot them. Like at night, I just had a bunch of people here in the last week. And my one friend, she was here. She's looking at the sky and I'm pointing them out to her. And she's like, oh my God, I can't believe that. Look at them. And then I was getting them just change the colors of their lights, and they were changing the colors of the lights for her. And she started cracking up because she's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that you get to experience this like this. And I'm like, I know, I can't believe it either. But this, I have experiences, and at least once a week, Nick, I am on one of the three ships, either the Mythia, the Butterfly, or the Pegasus.
Can you take us through one of these experiences on the ship?
Absolutely. So I will go to bed, and when I'm just getting into a good sleep, I then, it's like I'm tapped, like I'm tapped on the shoulder, tapped on the head. Sometimes I hear a sound in my ear, and then I wake up. They will lead me out. And this is what I was talking about earlier, where it seems like everything around is just frozen. It's easier now because I'm in the middle of nowhere on a 10-acre property, so they don't really have anyone that they need to worry about seeing anything. And I'm escorted on getting aboard the Pegasus ship. Oftentimes I'm walking and they're holding my hand. Other times, if I'm out of a dead sleep, they're carrying me onto the ship, and we'll be standing there. The door will come up on the ship, and then boom, and then we're gone. Sometimes we end up in other parts of this planet, and other times they've literally taken me to the planet through the portal. There's portals all over, so they have a tendency, they go very, very quickly. For example, when I was going to New Mexico from Toronto, Canada, it was like 10 minutes from closing the door to opening the door at that mountain in New Mexico to go in, like the top of the mountain. It comes down and through, things open up. So depending on where we're going, it depends on the time. But they show me that when you have family and stuff, they're showing me that they can freeze the time. So it's like you weren't even gone. And you know, there's been some times where I've been a lot longer on the ship, and that's when I've developed like a flu-like symptoms, things like that, where I'm just laying around. So I'll go in the ship, and they usually will take me to this technology room, has a really big, tall pink crystal in it, and then other crystals around it. And so they use that. That operates everything. They will usually put me on a table in that room. And they don't ever, I've heard stories of being people being strapped down and things like that. They never strap me down. They don't have to, because I'm just not afraid. To me, they're my star family. And they're there to take care of me and help me. So they will put me on a table, and then I get placed through this scan. And they scan my whole body. So the scan goes from the top of my head and then all the way down to the bottom of my feet. Then they also have this energy meter kind of thing. That's what they refer to it as. It's a gadget that they will take far above my head, as well as checks my Torah field. And they want to see if there's any issues in the Torah field. And when that happens, they have this zapper that and connects the energy the way that it's supposed to be flowing. It also opens up all the chakras so energy can flow very well. So that's the first thing they do. Once they check the energy field, they put a thing through my belly button. It doesn't hurt though. It's like a laser. And they check everything inside to see if there's any ailments that need to be fixed. That's when they choose whether or not I need to be dipped. And sometimes they dip me and sometimes they don't. I love the feeling of being dipped because it's so energetic. Then they will take me into this room. And it's a beautiful room. It's a round room. It's got a really comfy, it's like a bed. However, it's not attached to anything. And it's kind of floating. And I don't know how that happens. But then I get like a shake and a wiggle, because this bed will move and it just adjusts my whole body. To me, the best way to describe it is shaking my body back into place to knock all the kinks out of it. The whole time, you know, they're kind of bathing me, and then they use this thing in it. It almost looks like a vacuum, and they use this vacuum to, they go around my whole Torah field with this vacuum, and I'm assuming what they're doing is removing anything that no longer serves me, because that's what they say to me. Say that we're taking out everything that does not serve your highest good at this time, and that they are preparing me for the shift from the carbon form to the crystalline form. And that is what's needed for everyone who will be shifting into a higher vibrational state, into the fifth dimension. So that's the reason for that. And then they take me and show me things. So they have this really big screen. And this screen is where they are operating, where the, I guess you'd call it, the pilot would be sitting in the ship. And they take me in there, and they've got incredibly comfortable seats there. So they sit me in this chair, and the best way to describe the chair is almost like a dentist chair. It's very comfortable. And then they've got this big screen. So I'm tilted back, and headphones go on. I start being shown things, some things from the past, some things from that's just coming up, and some things far into the future. And it's like an incredible movie playing out, but it's real. It's not, and like there's no fiction to it. And this is how I get a lot of the information about what's going to be happening on the world. I also see how things, when we go back, how humanity has changed and how humanity has been affected with different things that have happened in the world and the game behind it. So they're making it very clear to me, Nick, when I'm on these ships, that this is an illusion and the reality is the ships and the other planets. But they keep referring to this as the game of life. And so they say, in the game of life, you need to be aware that this is coming. And so that's when I get all of this information downloaded. They also then after they show me the things that they need me to see, and it's things usually that they want me to be aware of, to keep an eye on, or to be able to warn people, you know, that something is coming. And the problem with that, though, Nick, is this. I've been told some pretty incredible things, and then I go to warn people, and then they think I'm nuts, and then it happens. And then they don't know what to do with it. So I was telling people 9/11 was going to happen because they showed me. And they showed me what it was really about. They showed me who it had to do with and what it was about. And it was about oil and water and depleting the money in the reserve. And, you know, it's, when you tell people these things, they don't know what to do with that information. And they also don't understand how I get this information. But this is like a regular day on the ship. So they'll do that. And then they put in this thing goes on my head. While it's on my head, it has a little bit of a noise to it. It doesn't hurt or anything, but it's like kind of headphones, but there's like a cap on top of the headphones. And then there's these electrodes that go onto my forehead, my temples, and the back of my head and the back of my neck. And they're doing two things. They are seeing what's happening with the information, what is happening in my brain that they are providing me. And the other thing that it's doing is providing me downloads, because our brain is like a computer. And so they're giving me information and downloads. And they also told me that I was being downloaded with some top secret information, because there were going to be a lot of things that shut down. People will need to know. So they said there's a handful of people on our planet right now that are being downloaded with the same information, because they will never be able to get that information no matter what. They may want to make sure that it's not getting into the wrong hands. So I'm not sure why I'm chosen for these things. I haven't figured that out yet, but they keep telling me it's a big reason and that one day I will know. But it's pretty cool. So when they're finished with that stuff, so I'm in the chair, I've got the thing on my head, and I'm having to watch this stuff that is going to be playing out on the planet and the bad actors behind it, which I'm shown to, which is really difficult because oftentimes I can't say I could, but that could create a lot of issues for me and whoever I say these things to. So I have to be very picky and choosy what I choose to share. Then they download me, and they've downloaded me recently with a lot of the Akashic records because they want me to start holding spaces and providing people information. So I've been getting all of this information, and that's how they do it. They put that thing on my head, and then it's just literally downloaded. They will also send tones into my ears, which also downloads information. It kind of does wonders for the soul and the spirit when they do that as well. Then we just kind of kick back, and they ask questions and I ask questions, especially things about Earth and what's going to happen here. And there's going to be a great deal of landscape changes happening here on the planet. And it's already started, but it's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better, because they told me that Gaia is in a cleansing and purging state. And because of that, there's going to be a lot of issues. And they also told me that they have shut down the nuclear reactors so that no one on this planet has the ability or nuclear capacity because of what happened in Hiroshima, is what they told me. After we spend some time together and they do everything, you know, this usually takes a number of hours in Earth time. I mean, time doesn't really exist to them, and I think that's how they can stop it so easily. I know I have a chip in me that my own star families have put in me to be able to track me and make sure that I'm okay and I'm easy to pick up if anything happens. So that's kind of a day on the ship for me, is just spending time, getting downloads, often being dipped, and going through technology that is so hard to explain, Nick, because it's stuff I've never seen before. And it's so hard to put into words here because I don't understand it. But the beings that take me more than others would be the Lyrans, the Pleiadians, and the Arcturians. Those are the three that I spend the most amount of time with. And those are the three that are working very, very close with me, teaching me things, making sure that I am connected still with my light language. They are just incredible at providing me all of these downloads and the ancient wisdom from the Akashic records, because they keep telling me it's up to me. It is up to you. It is up to you, they say, to let the world know. You need to let the world know that we're here for them. And I really sincerely believe that. I believe that they have been trying to help humanity. I just wish that more people were more aware or more willing to open themselves up to this type of experience, because so many have not so great experiences. But one thing I've been told about that, Nick, is that the beings that are scaring people and doing not so nice things to them, I'm being told, are actually not even star family beings and the ETs that are doing it. They've been replicated through cloning by the governments. So they keep making that very, very clear to me that the beings that come here are here to assist humanity and Gaia. They are not here to create fear or to do horrible things to them. So it makes me curious when I hear some of the stories that people are saying. I'm not saying I don't believe them. I totally believe them. But I think that governments are up to some pretty nefarious things. And to be able to control the population through manipulation is through fear. And I think that's kind of what's happening. And especially given that that's what the beings told me about for the cattle mutilations as well. Because I have had some grays around too, and they're the ones that provided me the animal stuff. But they were all loving and very, very amazing. So I've never had a negative experience, I guess you could say. And every time I come back from a ship, I feel lighter. I feel like I can conquer anything. And I just feel really good. And I have zero fear of dying because I know where I'm going. I've had two near-death experiences in this life. And quite frankly, I was upset when they sent me back the second time. But I've been assured the third time I won't be sent back. So that's good.
Wonderful. Okay. That's great, Marley.
Wonderful. It's been such a pleasure meeting you today, Nick. And thank you so much for listening to my story.
You're more than welcome. Marley, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Thank you so much. You have a beautiful day, my friend.
You too. Keep in contact and we'll speak soon.
Absolutely, I will. Thank you, Nick. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Marley for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.